This is Heather with MyHouseDeals.com, and today I'm speaking with Premium Elite member Travis. Travis is getting a refund of his upfront initial membership fee because he bought a property listed on MyHouseDeals.com during the first 12 months of his Premium Elite upgrade. How are you today, Travis?
I'm doing well.
Good to hear. Travis, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your investing background and kind of how you got started?
Well, I've been investing since 07.
Oh, wow.
And I do private money lending, and I also buy, fix, and flip single-family residences.
Okay.
I found my house deals online through doing various searches, and I invest both in Texas and in Florida, so it's been a valuable resource to have access to a number of deals out of an area that I was doing business in. I expanded into Texas recently, and so it was helpful to be able to find wholesale deals in a new marketplace where I had not yet had connections with wholesalers. It was a good way to meet new people and find new discounted property.
Great. Travis, what are your plans for the current deal that you purchased from My House Deals?
It is currently being renovated. Should be completed in a couple of weeks, 2 to 3 more weeks, and then I will put it on the market to resell it.
When you did your initial analysis, how did you go about verifying the after repair value and your cost of repairs?
My cost of repairs was put together by my contractor. I actually got a couple of bids from contractors. It was an extensive rehab. As far as the after repaired value, I have a realtor that I'm doing business with in the Houston area that was able to run comps for me. I came out here, drove that area, walked through the property, and looked at the comps and kind of did my own number crunching, but after looking at the neighborhood and based on the recommendation of the realtor that I'm using, I came to a conservative value that I thought would be profitable for me to do.
Okay. When you're analyzing your deals, how do you normally calculate the purchase price, and do you use a certain formula for that?
It varies deal by deal, depending on the amount of money that the deal costs. And so I still have a certain amount minimum that I like to make, usually $20,000 to $30,000. And so if it's a smaller deal and I can make that, then, you know, I'm happy. If it's a larger deal and I'm going to have to invest more capital, then I need to make sure that I have a cushion, because larger deals and larger rehabs can go over budget easier. And so I need to have a larger cushion in there. It may take $40,000 or $50,000 up front for me to actually make that 20 to 30, because you factor in cost overruns and it can easily cost another 10 to 20 grand. The other issue is if the ARV is higher, say over 200,000, then I need to have that larger amount of profit margin in there as well, because when you're paying commissions and closing costs on a larger number, it's easy for that profit to get eaten up quickly. Also, it's easy for price to get negotiated down by larger amounts of money. On a $50,000 deal, somebody may negotiate you down to $48,000, whereas on a $200,000 or $250,000 deal, when you get a lower offer, they're going to lower by $10,000 or $20,000 below what you're asking. And so you need to be able to accept that lower offer if you want to move the property quickly. And so I will require, you know, $50,000-plus profit margin on larger deals. So it varies on the deal size. There isn't any universal formula, depending, again, on the rehab, how long it's going to take me to renovate it. There isn't any specific formula just at this point in my career. It's almost a feeling, but I do make sure that I'm going to make $20,000 to $30,000 on the deal, or it's not something that I want to move forward with. And that's after I factor in a 10% factor for commissions and closing costs from the ARV.
Okay. Do you do anything in particular to make the seller confident that you'll actually close on the property?
I do let him know that I'm cash and that I can move quickly. I have no problem putting down deposits. If I can see that they are for real and they actually have the contract, that's something I like to see so that they're not wholesaling a wholesale deal. I want to see that they have control of the deal. And as long as they do have control of the deal, I can put up a non-refundable deposit. And that makes most of them feel fairly confident because their deposit's held in escrow. They know that if I walk away, that I'm the one that stands to lose more so than they do. So that deposit usually handles any concern there. I can show that I'm cash. That usually isn't even necessary for me to produce a proof of funds. Usually that deposit eases any of their concerns. I actually am the one that wants to be sure that they are in control of the deal. So I quickly turn the tables on any wholesaler that's going to want to know how real I am by letting them know that, all right, then or bring them a certified check right then and there. But I need to see that they are the ones in control of the deal. So then I'm the one that kind of gets in control of that negotiation real quickly by making sure that they're not wasting my time instead of vice versa.
Okay, that makes sense. What are some of the main things that you look for whenever you're inspecting a property?
The roof is one of the more expensive issues that would arise, so I'm always looking. I walk through the property and I start looking at the ceiling to look for any wet spots, any signs of mold, cracks. I look along the foundation, I look for any foundation issues. These are things that are easy to hide. And so I want to look for the hidden costs, the apparent costs, paint, carpet, appliances. If you're going to do tile or whatever the case may be, those are obvious when you walk through them. But I look for the things that aren't going to be obvious. So I start off by walking through and looking at the upper third of the property, the ceiling and the corners where the wall meets the ceiling. Then I go through again, look at the obvious damage that needs to be renovated. And then I go through again and look at the ground, look for cracks in the ground and signs of any infestations or where the things may be coming apart, the borders, et cetera. And then when you walk the outside and look for cracking, foundation damage, and any other issues. But as far as the actual renovations itself, I've just kind of done enough deals now that I can walk through a couple times and know approximately where I'm going to be at. If somebody couldn't do that, I'd recommend that they get a contractor's bid. And, once you have done business with a contractor that you're happy with, you can let him know what you want. And I let my contractor know, I want this to look like a model home. And so whatever that bid is, he knows what I'm looking for at this point.
Do you hold the properties in your own name or do you use a company name and why?
I use an LLC for liability reasons. That way if there should be any incident that would occur on the property, it would not come through and liable me personally. It also helps to keep the book separate. I have a separate account for the LLC, and it is a separate tax return is filed. And so you can do things personally. I've never had any legal issues. You can get an umbrella policy for liability if you wanted to close in your personal name. I found it convenient and worthwhile to have a separate entity.
I guess that just keeps it clear as far as what your stuff is and what the company stuff is. So that, I guess that
yes.
would be a suggestion that you would give, is to use an LLC.
Yes.
Okay. You mentioned earlier that you plan on selling the property. Do you sell your homes through a real estate agent, and why or why not?
I do. It is worthwhile for me to use an agent. It's just a separate business. I'm not a retail real estate agent, and so I can stick a sign out in the yard and take ads on Craigslist and begin marketing my service or my property rather for sale, but that's just not what I do. I have other things that I do with my time. And so as a result of that, I sub it out. It's like I don't get on the roof and hammer the shingles down, or I don't lay the tile. I don't sell the house. It's just a service that is provided to me, just like renovating the house is a service. It's all part of the numbers. So as an investor, I am a numbers cruncher. I'm an underwriter of the deal, and it's my job to find a good deal. I look at a lot of deals before I decide to move forward on one, but I build into the deal the cost of a real estate agent because it just like, again, laying tile or building a roof, being a real estate agent is not something that I do, and it is a full-time job. And so if for me, if I want my property to be marketed appropriately, especially in this market, I want the services of a professional real estate agent that has a strong marketing budget for his properties and is going to aggressively market that property in the community.
Travis, the housing market has been troubled for a few years now. Why do you choose to invest while many others might stay on the sidelines?
Well, there's a couple of reasons for that. I haven't found anything else to do that's quite as beneficial for a couple of different reasons. One is real estate is just something that I love doing. I'm good at managing and underwriting deals. It's something that enables me to be in control of my time. It is stressful sometimes, but in the end of the day, it is a worthwhile industry and business to be in. There still is money to be made. You have to be a little bit more careful. You have to be a little bit more conservative, and you're not going to make as much as maybe you used to be able to per deal, but there still is good money to be made, and it still is a good business to be in. And over the long term, it's a great way to accumulate wealth. It's much harder to accumulate wealth in an earned income position, whether you're self-employed or W-2. It's just harder to become financially independent in other areas. And as far as managing a business, it's a business that I just know. And so, you know, I don't know what else I would do as far as managing a business. But, you know, as far as the market changing, it got out a lot of people that were just, you know, chasing, you know, a fad, and it isn't really what they wanted to do. It isn't something that they were skilled at doing. You could make money if you could sign a contract 5 years ago. But now it requires skill. It requires a degree of wisdom and patience. But if you have those things and you have the ability to be selective on the deals that you do and negotiate well, it's a great business to be in, and I would never do anything else.
I think we're going to go ahead and wrap up. Travis, do you have any advice for newbie investors?
Yes. I would say be very conservative. The number one thing that wiped out some of the people that weren't as well healed or is experienced in the downturn in the marketplace was over leverage. And so just because you can borrow doesn't mean you should. I know not everybody can start out all cash. You need to maybe go get a hard money loan, but make sure that you have more than enough set aside, especially for your first 3 to 5 deals. If they're requiring $10,000 down and you're going to need another $5,000 to carry the loan, make sure you have another $10,000 to $15,000 on top of that, because there's a lot of deals that are good deals that investors or builders or whomever would have made money on, but they never got to that point because there was a cost overrun. It took longer to sell than what they'd intended, and they just ran out of rope. And so in this market especially, you're going to work twice as hard is what you think you're going to work, and it's going to take you twice as long as what you think it's going to take, and you're going to make half as much as what you think you're going to make. But at the end, it's still all worthwhile. But be prepared for those things, because if you go in, especially not doing a deal, and you're chasing a dream because you saw some show on TV, you're going to get hurt, and you won't be in this business very long, because it is a tough business if you don't know what you're doing. But you can make money, even as somebody that's new. And if you're determined and it's something you're passionate about and it's something that you really want to do, then that's fine. But set aside enough. Take that focus and have it on the front end. Set aside enough money. If it takes you an extra year working at your job, save the money, then so be it. But if you want to be successful in the long run, then make sure that you build a strong foundation, because if you don't, it doesn't matter what you build on top of it. Everything is just going to collapse, and that's true in business as well as in real estate.
Okay. Well, Travis, I think you've given us some really great information today. Thank you for your time.